This is a weekly summary of news about women and women's issues and from women's perspectives, which comes to you from the weekly Cheers and Jeers column of the Women's E! News. I'm Nancy Casey. First, the good news. Last week, the Senate voted 54-45 to table an effort to ban abortion coverage in the proposed National Health Insurance Plan. The vote effectively assures that the House Stupak-Pitts amendment that does call for such a ban would not be duplicated in the Senate. This news triggered an outpouring of relief from women's rights advocates. Deborah L. Ness, president of the National Partnership for Women and Families based in Washington, D.C., said in a release, quote, "Today, the United States Senate put women's health ahead of the anti-choice agenda by rejecting efforts to use health care reform to deny women the coverage for abortion services that most now have," unquote. In the House, 40 pro-choice advocates are threatening to vote against the proposed health insurance legislation if the abortion-limiting language is not removed. More news to cheer this week. Elizabeth H. Blackburn and Carol W. Greidner, the two female winners of this year's Nobel Prize in Medicine, are calling for gender balance in scientific institutions. Although as many women as men start out in science, women are often unable to advance in science-related careers after having children. The duo urged scientific institutions to change their career structures to provide flexibility so scientists who are also mothers can reach top positions. Cheers for Mona Pasquil, the first woman, the first Filipino-American, and the first Asian-American to become a lieutenant governor of California. She had been serving as chief of staff for Lieutenant Governor John Garamendi, who won a special congressional election last November. She will serve as interim lieutenant governor until Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger appoints someone to fill the post. Cheers for the End Prostitution Now campaign to criminalize men who pay for sex, which was launched in Glasgow, Scotland. The campaign will focus on those who create the demand by buying sex. City Councilor James Coleman said, quote, "Tackling demand is the key to this issue. It is demand which fuels the vicious cycle of sexual exploitation that supplies vulnerable people in the sex industry," unquote. The campaign also aims to raise awareness of the harm caused by prostitution. Cheers for the three Irish women bringing a lawsuit to challenge Ireland's abortion ban. The European Court of Human Rights in Strasbourg, France, is hearing the suit which alleges that the government violates the human rights of pregnant women by forcing them to travel abroad for abortions and denying care at home. A verdict is expected next year. International Planned Parenthood Federation said that since 1980, at least 138,000 Irish women and girls have traveled abroad to access safe and legal abortion services. And cheers to the hundreds of Afghan women who, holding pictures of relatives killed by Taliban militants, held a nonviolent street protest in Kabul to demand that President Hamid Karzai break ties with corrupt entities such as the Taliban. The leader of the protest, her face hidden by a burqa, said, quote, "These women are being very brave. To be a woman in Afghanistan and an activist can mean death. We want justice for our loved ones," unquote. This protest comes in the wake of a Human Rights Watch report that Afghan women and girls continue to suffer high level of violence and discrimination and have poor access to justice. The 96-page report entitled "We Have the Promise of the World, Women's Rights in Afghanistan" details the status of women and girls in Afghanistan and ongoing cases of human rights violations almost a decade after the fall of the Taliban. It faults the government for failing to bring the killers of prominent Afghan women to justice. Cheers for Thoraya Ahmed Obaid, executive director of the United Nations Population Fund, who received the Louis B. Sohn Human Rights Award for promoting the human rights of women and girls who face gender discrimination and violence. We cheer a report which lifts the veil on female trafficking and forced prostitution in Jerusalem. The 26-page report entitled "Trafficking and Forced Prostitution of Palestinian Women and Girls, Forms of Modern-Day Slavery" was researched by SAWA, a nonprofit Palestinian group that combats violence against women. The report found that although trafficking and forced prostitution in Palestinian territories operates on a small-scale basis, the trafficking is frequent and widespread, and the women and girls involved have few means of escape. And cheers for the Inter-American Court of Human Rights, which ordered the Mexican government to pay damages to the families of three women killed in Juarez in 2001 after the government failed to properly investigate the murders. The court ordered Mexican authorities to acknowledge their negligence and to take additional steps to find the killers. Now, for the bad news. Supporters of Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe regularly used rape to terrorize the political opposition during last year's debated elections. AIDS Free Worldwide released a 64-page report that documents 380 rapes committed by Mugabe forces. About half the women reported the rape to police, and few of the perpetrators have been prosecuted. Women linked to Zimbabwe's opposition detailed how they had been raped, kept as sex slaves, and forced to watch their daughters being raped. 10 women became pregnant following the attacks, and many now fear that they are HIV positive. According to the group, the rapes began in 2007 and increased dramatically in 2008, with 64% of the rapes occurring between the March election and the June runoff. Former UN AIDS envoy Stephen Lewis told the Associated Press, quote, "The politically orchestrated and systematic campaign of sexual violence unleashed against women who supported the opposition carves yet another chapter in the annals of Robert Mugabe's legacy of depravity." More news to jeer this week. More than 20 mothers were arrested in Iran during an anti-government protest. The women had been mourning children killed, detained, tortured, or missing during unrest in Iran since the disputed June 12th elections. They have protested in a Tehran park every Saturday since the June death of Neda Agan Sultan, age 26, whose shooting became a symbol of the government's violent oppression. These arrests are believed to be part of Iran's effort to suppress a large rally planned for National Student Day. We jeer the effect that the new U.S. mammogram guidelines could have on African American women who appear to have a higher risk of developing fatal breast cancer early in life. African American women ages 35 to 44 have a death rate from breast cancer twice that of white women the same age. The guidelines recently put out by U.S. Preventative Service Task Force covered a broad segment of American women based on the data available. Lovell Jones, director of the Center for Research on Minority Health in Houston, said, quote, "Unfortunately, the data on African Americans, Hispanics, and to some extent Asian Americans is limited," unquote. Jeers for conditions in Bangladesh that cause women and girls to be the main victims of human rights violations. Odhikar, a leading Bangladesh human rights organization, released its 2009 Human Rights Monitoring Report on Bangladesh, and it documents 130 workers in the ready-made garment sector who were injured during clashes related to overdue wages during the month of November. In addition, 27 women reported rapes, 25 women said they were subjected to dowry-related violence, and 3 women were victims of acid throwing. Jeers to the U.S. corporate culture, where women remain outnumbered 6-to-1 by men in the top U.S. boards of directors, a ratio unchanged from 2008. New York-based Catalyst, an organization that works to advance women in business, collected data from Fortune 500 companies, which also showed that women represent only 6.3% of corporate top earnings in 2009. This week we note that the breach between conservative and liberal Episcopalians widened when a lesbian was elected as an assistant bishop in Los Angeles, drawing fire from Anglicans worldwide. The Reverend Canon Mary D. Glasspool, age 55, is in line to become the second openly gay bishop in the Episcopal Church after the Right Reverend V. Jean Robinson, who took office in New Hampshire in 2004. This week we note that more than 10% of women of Korean heritage may be at risk for developing diabetes during pregnancy. The study of 16,000 women in Hawaii by Kaiser Permanente found that Korean American women's risk of gestational diabetes is 1/3 higher than average, more than double that of Caucasian and African American women. This week we also note that women who took a commonly used drug to limit the damage caused by osteoporosis had 32% fewer cases of invasive breast cancer. This data is based on a study of 2,816 women who used one of the bisphosphonate drugs used to treat osteoporosis. These news briefs were compiled by Kimberly St. Louis, an editorial intern at the Women's E! News. Rita Henley-Jensen is the editor-in-chief. This audio production of Women's E! News was produced in the studios of KRFP in Moscow, Idaho, and brought to you by VP Foundation and Yin Radio, which you can find on the web at vpfound.org. Background music is by Joan Hickey. The text of this broadcast and more news about women can be found at the Women's E! News website, womensenews.org. For Yin Radio and KRFP, I'm Nancy Casey.